When you visit Israel, it's possible to stand on the very mount from which Jesus Christ ascended to his Father in heaven. Prophecies foretell his return to that very Mount of Olives one day to set up his kingdom, a kingdom whose capital will be Jerusalem. Meanwhile, those who believe in him are charged to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Today, how Jesus is ruling in heaven, even now. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer's message today is Back in Heaven Where He Belongs, focusing on what Jesus is doing in heaven as he awaits his return to the earth. As King of Kings, his rule is already in effect.
There are two aspects to his rule. One is the present aspect. You say, well, if Jesus is King, if he's Lord, if he's God, why doesn't he take care of the messes in the world? Look at the terrible experiences that people are having with natural disasters and war and poverty and cruelty of every kind. Why doesn't he just come and straighten it all out? Well, the good news is he's going to. He's going to straighten it out. But he's giving time. The scripture says he is waiting until all enemies be put under his feet. He's waiting until that happens. And he's giving Satan time. He's giving people time to show that they can't organize themselves in this world, that they can't ultimately get along, that human nature is as bad as the Bible says it is. And so God gives this cursed earth time. But he's waiting. And even though his coronation in heaven was somewhat private, believe me that when he comes to earth as king, it is going to be very, very public. For as the lightning shines from the east to the west, even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, when the whole earth realizes that Jesus is King, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and he will have no rivals, no competition, nobody else to stand to dispute him. They will recognize him for who he is. It's going to happen, folks. It will happen. So he has recognized in the ascension also his kingship, his right to kingship. Well, what does all this have to do with us? Well, first of all, because we are in Christ, that means that we are already owners too. We don't own a piece of heaven because of who we are. We own a piece of heaven because of what Jesus has made us to be. That's why we own a piece of heaven. And so today, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, there is a crown in heaven with your name on it that only you can wear. There's a condo that only you can enter. The Bible says he has reserved a place for you. I love that phrase. You're at a restaurant, everybody's standing in line, and you walk ahead of everybody else because you have a place reserved for you. You have a place reserved in heaven for you. You own that because of Jesus, because of Jesus. So, as a result, we participate in ownership, but that means that Jesus also owns us. It goes both ways. Some of you came this morning with anxieties. The problem with your anxiety is ownership, isn't it? If you didn't own so much, you'd have nothing to worry about. You say, well, I'm worried about my children, that husband whom I should have looked at a second time before I married him. I'm worried about my health. I know, and these are our personal concerns. But my friend, today Jesus is the triumphant one, comes alongside of us and says, let me bear your burden and do it along with you, and take the weight off your shoulders. Yes, you're still going to have concerns, but take the weight off your shoulders and transfer them to mine. Because his shoulders are strong enough. Someday it says that the governments of the world shall be upon his shoulders. Your burden is like a fly on an aircraft carrier. That's how heavy it is to Jesus. So why are you bearing it alone? You own a place in heaven, but he owns you, and you're acting as if you're the only one who owns whatever pertains to you. Bring it under his sovereignty. And then we shall indeed be kings before God. The day is coming when we're going to rule with him. What Jesus has by divine right, namely kingship, you and I are going to have because of divine mercy. It's going to be given to us by sheer, undeserved grace. Not because of some silly New Age idea that we are really all gods. You know, Shirley MacLaine running onto Malibu Beach shouting, I'm God, I'm God, I'm God. Aren't you glad she's wrong? It's not because of that. It's because God in his grace is going to exalt us. Christianity is sometimes criticized. When I attended the World Council of Religions, actually that's wrong, when I attended the Parliament of World Religions, the Parliament of World Religions here in Chicago in 1993, where you had 5,000 delegates from all over the world coming to discuss the possibility of unifying the religions of the world, someone said, you know, the problem with you Christians is you have such a dismal view of human nature. Well, I think of what Chesterton said. You know, he said, why would anyone deny the doctrine of original sin when it's the only doctrine that can be proved by reading the morning newspaper? We do have a very dismal view of human nature, but we're realists. But that's why we love grace so much, because what God does is he takes us out of the mud and says, come with me and walk on marble. He says, I'm going to scoop you out of the pit and bring you to a palace, and that is undeserved grace to huge sinners. And that is the generosity of God. And that is the gospel. We get what we don't deserve. That's the gospel. When we were in Florence a few years ago, that great city with all of that art and the tremendous gifts that God gave people back then, we went over to the large churches and we saw some of the paintings. We saw some of the works of Michelangelo. I think we missed his David. But there was one spot that I wanted to go to that was more important to me even than all of those things. And that was, I wanted to go where Savonarola was burned. And if you've been in Florence, you know that there is that fountain right next to the town square. And if you go about 50 feet from the fountain, you will find there on the floor, it says, this is where Savonarola was burned. And I wanted to find that spot. Tourists walking, of course, over that sign, and understandably so, because it's part of the concrete, really. And the tourists are all there. They're looking where to buy all of the good ice cream, because Florence has good ice cream. I'm looking for Savonarola. He was a preacher of righteousness in Florence in the late 1400s. 1496, he had the bonfire of the vanities. He sent young men throughout the city, and they picked up lewd books and other things that were improper, and they burned them, a pile that apparently was 27 feet high. You'd be interested to know, I would be interested to know, what in the world what in the world those things were in comparison to what we have today. But because of a controversy that is far too interesting for me to tell you about today, the papacy, of course, wanted him dead, and they eventually got their wish, and that's where he was burned, was right there. But this is what he said before he died, and I never want you to forget this. And come to think of it, he'd have had to say it before he died. If you have somebody saying things after they die, you might have some problems that you might not want to have. Are you ready for what Savonarola said? He who believes that Christ reigns above need never fear what happens below. He who believes that Christ reigns above need never fear what happens below, because all things are under his feet. The triumphant Christ, the risen Christ, the ascended Christ. You never have to fear what happens here, because he reigns above. Don't you love him? I hope you do. Let's bow in prayer. Father, receive from us today our worship, our gratitude, our praise. Receive, O God, today everything that we are as we transfer ownership into your hands. Make this a transforming moment for all of us, and as we come to the Lord's table, may it be with a deeper gratitude than we've experienced in the past, thanking you that we have chosen through your help and sovereignty to be on the side of the winner. For those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, may they at this time receive him as their sin bearer and personally put their faith in him alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and my friend, I hope that you've received Christ as Savior, and if you have, connect with us. Let us know. We'd be delighted to hear about your faith in Jesus. A number of years ago, it was my privilege to be in Florence, Italy, and to stand where Savonarola was burned. And as I was standing there, I was reminded of the words that I just quoted at the end of my message. He who believes that Christ reigns above need not fear what happens below. Savonarola, of course, died. He was a forerunner in the sense of the Reformation, but he was put to death. But there's no question that someday we shall be with him and with others who have savingly believed on Jesus, the Sovereign One, who was raised and rules forever.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has now concluded Back in Heaven Where He Belongs, a brief study of the ascension of Jesus into heaven and what that means for his followers on earth. Tomorrow, don't miss a series on God and the Nations, a big picture look at God's intentions for planet Earth. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Today's message can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Back in Heaven Where He Belongs when you call. Visit our website. You'll find us at runningtowin.org. Don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.